This is Will's Band of the Week for April 18th, 2021. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Chris from Ron Swanson Studios.
Hello.
And Sarah is back, but we don't have a name for your studio. Do you have a name for it?
The Evil Lair is generally what I refer to it as.
Okay. Of,
Los Angeles.
It's, L.A., right?
Indeed, yeah.
For a comment that is completely irrelevant, but it's an L.A. reference. I'm watching a TV series about the East Los Angeles Community College basketball team. Have you seen that one, Chris?
Well.
Did you watch it?
I have.
You watched the whole thing?
A great deal.
It's good.
What's
right?
It's
called Last Chance U Basketball. They had a football version, and it's these kids in community college trying to, you know, break out of community college and make it bigger in sports. But the basketball one's really good. I think we've watched 6 out of the 8. So.
So there's your Los Angeles news.
Yeah, this is my LA reference.
I have a more pressing question for Sarah. Where does this where do you get the money for all these records?
I work too much. I work way too much.
What is your annual record buying budget?
I don't have a budget. Because if I don't look at how much I spend, it doesn't matter, right? Like, money is imaginary, is kind of the approach I take.
You don't want to think about
construct.
It too much, yeah. Yeah,
and,
so...
You know, when you find a good deal on a record, you really can't pass it up, because you don't know if you're ever going to find a good deal on it again. So you kind of have to grab it when you see it.
Sarah is one of the greatest collectors of vinyl on Instagram, right?
I wouldn't say I'm one of the greatest, but I am one of the most enthusiastic. I love to buy records. I just went to the reopening of Amoeba. I was there on the first day I took off work and stood in line for 8 hours to go into Amoeba.
Oh, man, that is dedication. That's incredible.
It was 8 hours to get into a record store?
Yeah, 8 hours.
Wow.
So if you ever doubt my commitment, may I refer you to that incident?
I would never do that.
Well, thank you. But, I mean, it was a great experience. I'm really glad I went. I met a bunch of cool people in line. We formed our own, like, self-sufficient society. And then I bought a ton of records. Went home, drank a martini, and went to sleep.
Wow. Did they have porta-potties out there for the people in line?
They did not. So that was another problem that our society had to adapt and find solutions to.
And in California, is it a crime to give food or water to someone waiting in line at a record store?
It is not.
Good.
As far as I know. I mean, we were breaking all sorts of laws, so I don't know about the legality of these things. But we were drinking, we were eating, having a good time in line, trying to make it go by faster.
Yeah, what are the rules as far as like standing in line with hundreds of people? During COVID.
I mean, you're supposed to stay like 6 feet apart from like the next group in line. But I formed a bubble with these like couple of strangers and
not in your society.
Yeah. So we had our own little bubble. And we just like, you know, rotated going and getting supplies from stores down the street or, you know, like holding each other's place in line. It was very sweet, honestly.
I'm surprised. This sounds like The Walking Dead, where everybody's like scavenging for for stuff to keep you alive.
Honestly, though, like record store people are the best people. Everyone is so nice. Everyone was just there, like took the day off work or, you know, came in the middle of the week to just like visit this place that we all missed so much. Everyone was in like great spirits. It was very friendly. good vibes all around.
That's pretty great.
Did you find that to be the case in at South by Southwest, Will? Were people in line friendly and...
well...
Was there a community in every line that you stood in?
I don't think they were unfriendly, but probably not the kind of vibe that Sarah's talking about. You know, now maybe next year if it actually happens, maybe it'll feel more that way, right? Because people will have missed it. Yeah. Well, Chris and I, of course, I think based on pre-production, should probably do a coronavirus update. I don't know. Should we do a quick one without the jingle, or should we? Does it deserve the jingle?
You know what? I've actually gotten so used to the jingle, I sing it to myself now. I was riding my bike the other day, and I'm like, I kind of like the coronavirus jingle. So go ahead and play it.
Are you going to perform it? I mean, I don't know it so well.
Yeah, Chris, you want to sing it first?
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that.
It's time for the very serious Corona Report. My Corona.
Thanks again, Nicholas. Yeah, it's a catchy one. Well, it just
multiple
so happens.
Multiple tracking and stuff? That's oh,
yeah.
Professional deal.
Yeah. He's got his own voice on there, like quadruple tracked, I think. Pretty amazing. It's a kind of a fun coincidence, isn't it, Chris? Chris and I both, just it happens today, got our second vaccines. So we're not, I don't know. I don't know about you, Chris. I don't quite feel invincible yet, but I feel better than I did before.
So. And I should also note that, so just so we don't leave anybody out, somebody else on this podcast got hers yesterday.
Really?
I did. I got mine on Tuesday, my second one, and it knocked me out. I had a rough day yesterday. I had to cancel all my meetings, cancel all my plans, and sleep for an unreasonable amount of time.
So, so Chris and I might still get hit, then, you're saying. We haven't gotten it yet.
I would say drink your whiskey tonight, and then tomorrow cancel your plans. Would be my advice.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. If you're gonna feel terrible, why not just throw a hangover on top of it? I mean,
you
won't be able
to
have a bad day
anyway. Yeah. The vaccine will be working its magic on you.
See, I really have mixed feelings because I don't really want to have the symptoms, but I kind of want to know that it's working too. So I guess I'm okay either way.
That's what one of my friends was saying. Was I was complaining that I felt like horrible, and he said, you know, it's just the vaccine doing its thing. Like, that's a good sign. So, I mean, it really did its thing to me. So I hope you guys have less of a reaction.
It's your body fighting back really hard against a fake coronavirus, right? So it's like showing that you can fight it off. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really happy to have gotten the second one. I feel super lucky. But man, yesterday was rough.
Hmm. And that was what, 2 days post then? 2 days after?
1 day after, yeah.
Okay, like one full day?
I did not feel like myself until probably like 3:30 this afternoon. It was probably 36 straight hours of just feeling like garbage.
What do you think, Chris? Still feeling confident?
Yeah, you know, so I got home from getting it and I was like, maybe I should like run on the treadmill for a little bit just before I feel terrible, because I know I'm not going to be able to work out. You know, I barely do anyway, so I figure, you know, I'll just get this over with. And I got about 2 miles in and started to fade. I'm like, oh, this is the calm before the storm. Here I go. I should note, though, just to bring this back to music somehow, a lot of people who have gotten the shot, you know, they'll post their picture like with a quote from a movie or from a song. Mm. And the most popular one was Wilco's All I Need Is a Shot in the Arm. So I've seen like 5 or 6 people do that. When I got my first one, I did a terrible shot in the arm and You're to Blame from Bon Jovi, which was awful. But I thought it was funny because it was awful. But nobody has topped Sarah's when she posted it. Not only did she post the caption, Jonathan Richman and the Moderna lovers. She actually wore her T-shirt to get the vaccine. That is dedication, and major props to you for that. That made me laugh.
Thank you so much. Nobody else has said anything about it, and I wore that outfit especially because I knew it was happening.
Oh, so, that is good. That is really good.
Well, I saw it on Twitter and Instagram and stuff, and nobody's liked it or commented.
People liked it. They just didn't comment on the Jonathan Richmond moment, and I was a little surprised, but whatever.
It's a bit esoteric.
I know.
Are there a lot of Modern Lovers fans out there these days?
I would say there are more here than most places.
Oh yeah.
I saw him just before. Well, not just before. Like a couple months before lockdown started at the Bootleg in sort of like Echo Park area, and that was a packed show. Like everyone was there, including like John C. Reilly, like a bunch of cool people. Packed audience. And then I got to drunkenly meet Jonathan Richmond after the show, which was lovely.
Nice.
Gave him a hug.
Wow. That's super cool.
Coasting off that for a while.
My favorite thing about Jonathan Richmond is you can basically tell like what is in his living room based on the song that he writes, because he always just writes about like whatever's right in front of his face. It's like, hey, cactus. Hey, cactus.
You're my best friend.
Yeah.
I'm here for that energy.
Yeah, it's the best. So I just wanted to praise you for your T-shirt and your Moderna lovers.
Thank you. I think that's what we should refer to ourselves as, you know, instead of like the Moderna gang, the Moderna lovers.
That is, that's the best one I've heard. I heard on this message board that I frequent, all the people getting Pfizer are like, you know, we got the best ones, so they call themselves the Pfizer Elite. And and then somebody came up with Moderna Mafia, and I'm like, oh, that's just bad. That's just weak. Moderna Lovers is way better. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, we don't need organized crime up here. This is like...
No, not at all. More glorification. Yeah. Well, this is a milestone. I bought my first tickets for a show today.
Really?
Yeah.
Who are you going to go see?
Japanese Breakfast.
Ah.
Oh, fun.
I thought, you know, they're coming to Madison, and there's like in September, there's a bunch of good stuff coming. I mean, supposedly coming. I'm still in believe it when I see it mode. But I thought, why not? Why not? So
I mentioned before at South by Southwest, I went to go see Japanese Breakfast, which is essentially one person. It's a woman.
Yeah.
And we were at. I was right up near the stage, and then there was this little strip that was kind of out into the crowd. And so she walked out into the crowd, like literally right on top of me, and like bent over, and she's like a foot away from my face singing, and I like awkwardly like pull my phone up and take a picture. She's probably like, "Who is this idiot?" So I have the picture. It's on Facebook. I'll post it. I'll send it to you, and you can post it in the show notes.
I thought you were going to say you sang some backing vocals, you know, because she was right there. Did some harmonies.
Not this time. Not this time.
All right.
And I've ruined it now. Now she knows me, the guy with the cell phone.
My favorite person walking on top of me story is when Wayne Coyne walked over us in his bubble. That was cool.
Oh, yeah?
Cool.
Yeah. Had to support the bubble.
It's weird to be walked on when they're in a bubble.
Yeah.
Like, less difficult.
Right. Well, we have a lot of content, and Chris has been appointed content curator for this week. He's going to be totally in control. Although I did listen to everything, and I've picked out some tracks, so I think I'm full participant. But
oh, nice.
But Chris is going to be in charge, and so why don't you decide who we talk about first?
Yeah, so, I mean, normally we talk about very little known bands, but this is a big one. This is a very popular one, although even a couple of years ago she was on all the top 10 lists of even kind of like the indie folks, so she is very popular and for a reason, and it's Lana Del Rey, and the album is called Chemtrails Over the Country Club. And I didn't really know much about her. Like, I hadn't listened to her way back in the day. I know her first album was like 2012, 2013 or something, and there were questions about her authenticity or whatever, and she had kind of what the kids call the like bangers, kind of club songs. And then her last two albums, I think David is actually the one that said you should listen to Norman Effing Rockwell, which was from, what, 2 years ago. And I did, and I loved it. And it's her kind of mellowing out a little bit and being a little more folky and a little more soulful. And I liked that one a lot. And this is, I mean, this is right in that same vein where she's, I mean, the music is almost not even there. Like, it's basically her singing and they're very spare instrumentation. It's a very laid back vibe. No club bangers on this one. So, let me just pick a song and I'll give you an idea what it sounds like. And let's see, what was I gonna play? Let's play number 7, Not All Who Wander Are Lost.
I've been wearing the same damn clothes for 3 damn days. Lincoln, Nebraska's got me in a haze. The thing about men like you is you got a lot to say. But will you stay? You say you got my name on your tattoo. Opening up doors, pulling out chairs, look at you. You talk to God like I do. I think you know the same secrets that I do. I'm talking about not all those who wander are lost. Not all those who wander are lost. Not all those who wander, all those who wander, all those who wander. Just wanderlust. The thing about being on the road is there's too much time to think. The best seasons of old is you pour yourself a drink. Cause every time I said no, it wasn't quite what I mean. If you know what I mean. You say you got my name as your tattoo. Pulling out chains, opening doors, look at you. You talk to people like I do. I think you know the same things that I do.
Lana Del Rey from Chemtrails Over the Country Club. So that was an example of a very stripped down song. But, the way I remember it, David also instructed me to listen to the Norman Effing Rockwell album, so I dutifully did. And I liked it. I thought it was kind of amazing in terms of the production. Like, there was, like, some really cool production on it. And this seems to me to be more minimal production. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's full-on, like, Joni Mitchell type of stuff right there, which she obviously reveres. She name checks Joni Mitchell in a later song. She actually does a cover of Joni Mitchell of her song For Free. And that has a guest spot from podcast favorite Weyas Blood. And she also name checks Joan Baez as well. So that's obviously the vibe she's going for. And I think it really works. So, Sarah, did you listen to this at all?
I did. I listened to it after you mentioned we were going to talk about it. I hadn't heard it yet. And I did really like it. I haven't listened to a ton of Lana Del Rey in the past, but I liked sort of how stripped down this album was, and I thought it highlighted her voice in a really nice way. I think my two favorite songs were probably the first two, White Dress and Chemtrails Over the Country Club. I really like kind of like how nostalgic and like gauzy and sort of hazy those songs are.
So go ahead and pick one.
Let's do the title track.
All right, here we go.
I'm on the run with you, my sweet love. There's nothing wrong contemplating God under the chemtrails over the country club. We're in our jewels. in the swimming pool. Me and my sister just playing it cool under the chemtrails over the country club. Take out your turquoise and all of your jewels. Go to the market, the kids swim. My moon's in Leo, my Cancer is Sun. You won't play, you're no fun. Well, I don't care what they think. Drag racing my little red sports car. I'm not unhinged or unhappy, I'm just wild. I'm on the run with you, my sweet love, there's nothing wrong. Contemplating God under the chemtrails over the country club. Wearing our jewels in the swimming pool. Me and my sister just playing it cool under the chemtrails over the country club. Meet you for coffee at the elementary school. We laugh about nothing as the summer gets cool. It's beautiful how this deep normality settles down over me. I'm not bored or unhappy, I'm still so strange and wild. I'm in the wind, I'm in the water. Nobody's son, nobody's daughter.
Yeah, one thing I really, really like about that song is just, like, how vivid the imagery is. Like, her little red sports car, the jewels in the swimming pool, the chemtrails over the country club. Like, these are all things you can kind of picture in vivid detail. And I appreciate that. It's, like, sort of Cheever-esque in a way. I hate to say it, but it reminds me of that. Like,
mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, on a lighter note, I think everyone is going to be quoting that song in their Instagram captions this summer. You know, drag racing my little red sports car. You know, I'm not unhinged or unhappy. I'm just wild. We're in our jewels in the swimming pool. Like, I can see it now.
Yeah, she always seems to be wanting to be somewhere else, whether it's a different place or a different time. I mean, listening to this album, you could actually have a globe with you to point out all the other places that she name checks that she she has wistful memories of being or where she'd rather be. The producer she used for this is produced her last album, Jack Antonoff, who's, he's worked with every female artist that, you know, you probably even heard of. Like, he produced the last two Taylor Swifts, I believe. Carly Rae Jepsen, St. Vincent, FKA Twigs, Lorde. So he's obviously an wow. important part of all of this too. And just there's one connection to my favorite album of last year was Hazel English's album. And there's a guy named Blake Stranathan who wrote about half the album, the songs on that album, and collaborated with Hazel English. And he is one of Lana Del Rey's musicians as well. So. There's a connection there.
That's very interesting. Cool. Well, it's very kind of both of you not to pick either of my top two tracks. So I'm a free agent now. I can pick whatever I want.
Go crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to go totally nuts. One of the tracks is a pretty slow one, and Chris picked a pretty slow one. So I'll pick the... None of these are like fast rocking songs or anything. But for proper balance, I am going to choose number 3. Tulsa, Jesus Freak.
You should stay real close to Jesus. Keep that bottle in your hand, my man. Find your way back to my bed again. Sing me like a Bible hymn. We should go back to our kids. Drink this body from the can of gin. Like a little piece of heaven. No more candle in the wind. You should come back to our place, baby. Don't be afraid of our love. super slow. We'll wait half forever. And only the love. You should stay real close to Jesus. Keep that bottle in your hand, my man. Find your way back to my bed again. Sing me like a Bible hymn. We should go back to our kids. Drink this body full of kitchen. Like a little piece of heaven, of a candle in the wind. We'll be white hot forever. White hot forever. White hot forever. Never, never, amen. Could I come back to the ranch, baby? I had to get away for a while, just to rest my nerves. Darling, can I make you laugh with a smile? You knew when you chose me, I was nothing but ordinary. And now the wind's blowing, reminding you of what you know. You should stay real close to Jesus. Get that bottle.
I'm happy with my pick. So this is my typical thing. I don't listen closely to the lyrics, and then we play it on the podcast, and I look up the lyrics, and then I think, hey, those are witty and funny and interesting lyrics. So it's
I always appreciate it when you pick a song that makes the point that I just made too, where she says we should go back to our Kansas.
Right, right. Yep.
About needing a globe.
Yep.
So yes, thank you for that.
I did it for you, Chris. Yep.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. You know, I think it's good when, I don't know, don't you think it's sort of easy to ignore artists that have already kind of had, you know, they've gotten kind of famous. You kind of just like leave it to the fans and you just don't, I think there's a natural inclination for us to just want to hear things that are more obscure. But then, you know, you go back and pay attention to something like this and then you realize that it's a super talented person.
Definitely. I am glad that we picked this one. This week, I really, really enjoyed it, and I probably wouldn't have listened to it unless, you know, you had mentioned we were talking about it. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I fell prey to this myself when she first got popular. I was like, bah, she's too popular. She's like too pretty. People just like her because she's pretty. And no, there's a lot more there, and I'm really happy I've gotten into her.
Once somebody's been on Saturday Night Live, you know, it's kind of like, all right. Right.
I don't know about that. Courtney Barnett's been on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, okay. I'm not. I don't pay close. I guess I think Radiohead's been on Saturday Night Live too, right? Like a lot of good artists have been on Saturday Night Live. So I retract my comment. All right.
Phoebe Bridgers was just on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. She tried to smash a guitar and she couldn't do it. It wouldn't smash.
But then she auctioned it off for charity.
Oh, that's cool.
Over $100,000 or something. So.
Oh, that's cool. Wow, that's great. I just thought it was cool that the guitar was too durable and she couldn't smash it. You know, this is no discredit to her. I mean, they probably like when heavy metal bands do it, they probably make the guitar purposely with like a weak connection from the neck to the body so it'll break easier. In fact, I think I talked about this on the podcast. They said that they actually made the monitor that she slammed the guitar into was like a setup. It was supposed to like break and spark or something. <It's> like, you know, you got the TV production people. They should be able to make something, make a bomb or an explosion or something, right? They should have had like the Kiss road crew set up something for her, and that would have been way more spectacular. Just a thought.
Sure.
Yeah. Well,
all right, so what are we doing next? Do you want to do Sarah's?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Sure.
All right.
Which one should we talk about first? Does anyone have a preference?
I've only listened to one of them. I've only listened to the new one. So why don't you just start with that one?
But there must be a second one that I don't even know about, but this is going to make it fun and spontaneous.
Okay. Well, let's see what happens. But I guess we'll talk about La Femme Paradigms. Does that sound good? Okay.
Yeah,
correct.
So that is a brand new album. It just came out this year from the French band La Femme, who I am a huge fan of. I've seen them several times in concert. They're so much fun. Their shows are always just like an over-the-top party. And La Femme is, like, they're influenced by a lot of different things. They're influenced by, you know, obviously, like, psychedelic rock, punk rock. They've got, like, French like, influence. And also, you know, they count, like, the Velvet Underground and Kraftwerk as some of their influences. So there's a lot going on there. And I love this new album. I'm so excited about it. And the first time I heard it, I just played every song over and over. And a couple of them I played like six times in a row. But should I pick a song for us to listen to? Or
might as well. Yeah, it's always a good introduction.
Okay, great. Let's play Cool Colorado because it's currently my favorite new song.
It's got a cool name, too. I mean, just like, how can you not like a track called Cool Colorado?
Sur tes bancs et respirer le vent ici. La vie est calme, les anges me caressent. Et je fume dans les rues sans le stress. Un peu comme à l'ancienne, loin de mes problèmes. Là où on vient, je sentir la chaleur. Et sentir la douceur du vent des montagnes. Sweet Colorado, la radio joue un morceau de cowboy. Sweet Georgia Brown dans les cheveux. Je fume une cigarette, papier maïs. Au coin de la sixième, je viens du nord pour rejoindre l'ouest. Je pose mes valises chez Lizzie à Denver City. C'est là que le train me laisse.
What are you laughing about? Is it the French guy saying rock and roll?
So let me start by saying I love this album. Like, as soon as you suggested it, I listened to it and I loved it front to back. It's got like kind of that cool, cool is in the name of the song, so it's got to be cool, right? But, you know, there's some songs where it kind of feels like Western music, kind of that late night dirt road type of stuff, kind of like. Who's I think in the who's that band that we like? They're from Sweden that does something like that. You really like them, Will?
No, we can't come up with it.
That late night Swedish band.
Yeah.
Yes. So that song I especially like because it does kind of have that kind of Western feel to it. And it's essentially a game of, like, find the English word. So there's, like, yeah, so he drops in, like, an English word, like, Colorado's in the title. But then there's Los Angeles is in there. And then he swears in English. And it's, like, just when you thought you were caught up, he like, says the F word. And you're, like, whoa, hold on there, Frenchie. And it's great. It's just a great sounding song. So that was one of my favorites too. That probably would have been my pick actually.
Oh,
pick another.
I hope you thought of another one to talk about.
The Ravenettes is what I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
I love Ravenettes.
Oh, yeah.
I could see that. I don't know. I love that song. I feel like it makes you feel like you're under the influence of like something in a hazy like French basement club, and like if you watch the video. That'll even make it solidify that feeling for you. the video is beautiful, and it's exactly those vibes, and it's got an army of, like, beautiful women with bouffants playing the trumpet, so highly recommend checking that out if you're into that sort of thing.
Like, there's a song later on in the album where it starts off like it could be a Daft Punk song or something, and then they drop in a banjo, and it's like,
oh, yeah,
what is happening?
Yeah.
Like, it works. It's awesome. But it's like, what is going on?
Where did
on?
That banjo come from? Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one of the things I really like about La Femme is, like, they've traveled so much now. They've been a band for, like, 10 years, and they've sort of toured the world at this point, and they've, like, brought all these influences back into their music. But they've always sort of had this interesting surf influence, and I was, like, digging around as to why that was. And I guess it comes from they formed as a band in Biarritz, which is, like, in the south of France, and that's where, like, surfing sort of started in Europe. So it's, like, a surf town. So they would just, like, hang out on the beach and play guitar. And I think that's another cool, like, element to their music. It's just that surf influence.
There are definitely a lot of influences, as you say. Well, I think
Why don't you pick one there, Will?
Oh, you want me to go next?
Yeah, you go next.
Okay, go next.
I'm still sorting out.
Before I make my pick, two things about this. First of all, anything in French, there's a near certainty that I will butcher every pronunciation. So, like, I looked at this, I'm like, well, it's La Femme, and Sarah's saying La Femme. So
I speak, like, 27 words of French, and I love this band. I don't think it stops you.
So
my first shot, I had like a 3-hour drive there and a 3-hour drive back. And so for part of it, I listened to a How to Speak French book on tape so I could come back and tell my children that getting the shot makes you be able to speak French.
Yeah.
And see if they believed me. So I know like three sentences of French now. Like it's a miracle drug.
So I'm a great butcher of French. But a little fun little trivia thing. My son Jackson, who's never been on the podcast, but has very good musical taste, about 2 years ago, he told me about this band. He found them somewhere. He said, hey, Dad, you should listen to this band. They're cool. He was going to school in Canada at the time, so maybe there's like a French-Canadian connection or something. But these guys are from Paris, right? Pretty sure.
Yeah, so they formed in Biarritz, but they moved to Paris in order to like record music and
get the
band together.
It's like moving to Paris for indie rock stardom. It's the French version, yeah.
As one does.
Yeah. All right. Number 5, Nouvelle Orleans.
Ooh, that might have been mine. Okay, go ahead.
We'll be right back.
sounds like I might have stolen Chris's pick.
Sounds like it, or me shaking my fist at you via video. Was that enough for it? That was it.
Well, there are 15 tracks on this in 54 minutes. And it's an adventure, and it's fun. And, it's not one of those albums where you're like, be done with this, it's too long. It's diverse enough, right? I think.
Yes. Sorry, I'm still searching for a song. So to me, this kind of sounds like the Flight of the Conchords song, Fudu Fafa.
You know,
the first song.
I've never watched that series. I've had people tell me that, you know, that it's really good. Is it still relevant, or is it now kind of like, would I like it if I watched it?
Yeah, and the first song on the first album that they put out is essentially a song making fun of speaking French in music. And like trying to oppress girls by speaking French when you actually don't speak French. So it's just them saying like baguette, soup du jour, Jacques Cousteau. So that's basically what I hear when I hear a song that's totally in French. And I was looking through the songs. Some of them have the explicit language rating on them when I think they're all in French. So am I supposed to be offended by a song that's completely in French that I don't understand?
If you want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like a metaphysical, an epistemological question.
Right.
So I'm listening to it, and I know I should be offended by it because it has the label, but I don't understand it. So
you're safe.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm safe. Okay. I picked a song. Let's just play the first one because it's kind of the first one that comes out of the gate and kind of punches you in the face. There's so much going on in this song with horns, and it's like a Broadway show type of thing. So the first song is, I believe she pronounces it Paradigme.
Party atmosphere.
Absolutely. There's some cool lyrics in this album. I mean, if you listen through it and go and read the translations, there are some really cool ideas, some fantastic imagery. So highly recommend checking out the translated lyrics on these.
And how long have they been around, and how many albums do they have?
So I think they have 3 full lengths. I could be wrong, but they've been a band for about 10 years. And they put out their first full length in 2013. And that's Psychotropical Berlin, which was the other album that I had suggested we talk about, but we don't have to talk about it today. It's a fantastic album.
Well, maybe at least while we're on the subject of the band, maybe go back and like play one track from that one, maybe?
Oh, yeah. I can pick one right away. So I would suggest we play Antitoxie from their first album, Psychotropical Berlin, released in 2013.
That's a great track.
That's so
really
cool.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Will, who do you think that sounds like?
Oh, God. You weren't supposed to put me on the spot like that. Baird is supposed to answer those questions. I don't know. Did you have something in mind?
So for the first like half of what we just listened to, it sounded almost like a Devo song. And
all right.
Then, yeah, until a until like that kind of surf guitar drops in there. And then it sounds like something completely different. So that's amazing. I'm definitely going to go back and listen to that.
Yeah, and the chorus that we just started to hear sort of turns it into a punk song. It's just them shouting about how much they hate taxis and how everyone should ride the bus. And I fucking love that song. It's so great. So fun live. Everyone just jumps up and down and screams about the taxis, and highly recommend it.
You know, it's fun, the group of correspondents we have, and a lot of times I hear a thing and I think of one or two or three of the of our cohorts here, and like they should like this, right? I mean, I think we all do that. So I hear this and I'm like, Jeremiah, come on. That's like, he's got to love it, right?
Yeah, this seems like
that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yep. So this is another band that we have to go see now that they're all backed up.
Yeah,
all going to go on tour at the same time. There's going to be like three shows a night.
We're all going to be exhausted and underslept and spending all our money on tickets. But
every city will be like Austin at South by Southwest. We'll be like multiple shows every night,
right?
Just to try to catch up. Well, that's great. That was definitely a good pick.
Yes, thank you for that selection.
La Femme, La Femme, whatever, however you want to butcher the French. They're fun. Chris, you've got one more thing here, right?
I do have a thing. We don't need to like go into too much detail about this band because we've talked about them so often. I think this is their seventh album. This is one of my favorite bands. They're on anytime they have an album come out, you can just pretty much reserve a spot on the top 10 for me. And it's Godspeed You Black Emperor. For the people who don't know them really well, I'm not sure how to really describe them other than they're, I guess, I want to say like orchestral metal, but that kind of sounds like they're a Christmas band or something, like they're Mannheim Steamroller or something. But they're I think the best of the bands that are kind of like post rock, you know, kind of your Mogwais and your Explosions in the Skies and your Tortoises and Russian Circles and kind of bands like that, where it's instrumental. Some of it is laid back and it kind of lulls you to sleep, and then they come roaring in with this huge riff and kind of tear your face off, and then they kind of recede back. And I've said it many times on the podcast that this is the music that I listen to, because when it hits its highs, it just gets your blood pumping and going so much that it's really, you know, it's really an experience. So they just had an album come out called...
It's a great title. Oh, my God. The title of the album and the track titles are incredible.
Yes, this is one of their tricks. It's called God's Pee at State's End, and half of it is capitalized, and God only knows what's going on there.
Yeah,
but as is as is the case with almost all Godspeed songs, if you want to get to the real meat, you have to skip ahead. So
yeah,
I'm gonna play the song Cliff's Gaze / Cliff's Gaze at Empty Waters Rise / Ashes to Sea or Nearer to Thee. That is the name of the song. And I would recommend fading in at probably about 4 minutes if you want to get to the business time.
I made some notes, and my first note was track 7 start at 4 minutes.
What?
Yeah, it actually says that. Yep.
I told you.
Yep, you did. All right, let's do it. Godspeed You, Black Emperor, from Montreal, so that's, right? Montreal noise post-rock.
Yes, correct. yeah, I mean, I just love them. I've told the story before about they're literally one of my favorite bands, and I bought tickets to go see them like months and months ahead of time. And a couple months later, I was like, God, that Godspeed show's got to be coming up soon. And so I go and I check, and it was the week before.
That's so tragic.
I just totally missed it. I had like $75 worth of tickets that I never used. Literally one of my favorite bands, and so
that's trash. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, not gonna let that happen again. Hopefully, so. But yeah, so again, you know what you're getting with the Godspeed album. There's gonna be long periods where it's, you know, basically kind of just noise, and it, like I said, it just kind of like gets you in this mood, and then that makes it all the more powerful when they come in with just this tidal wave of sound like you just heard. So, yeah.
I can make a pick. First, I'd like to make a note that, as I mentioned, some of the song titles are great. So there's a song called Government Came 9980.0 kilohertz, 3617.1 kilohertz, 4521.0 kilohertz. Pretty great, right? this is actually one of the simpler song titles, and a pretty good track. Number three, First of the Last Glaciers. Godspeed You, Black Emperor. And I just love that there's an exclamation point after the you. So it's like, Godspeed You, Black Emperor, right?
Yeah. As I've said many times before, this is my writing music. If you've read anything I've written probably in the last 5 to 6 years, there's an 80% chance I was listening to Godspeed. Because I can't write when I'm listening to songs with words. It totally throws me off. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's great. Sarah, any impressions on this?
Oh, I mean, I like it. I don't listen to a lot of post-rock. I mean, I've seen a fair amount of post-rock, like, live. I've seen Tortoise. And I dig it. It's not something I necessarily seek out to listen to often, though. Mm-hmm. But maybe I should do it more.
Yes, absolutely. I would recommend it.
You know, it's been a rare instance that I've gone to see an instrumental band live. I think it'd be really interesting because I don't know, maybe Chris, if you listened to these albums many, many times, right, then you'd kind of learn the songs. But to me, this is more about sort of just standing back and absorbing it, right? Like in a kind of an unexpected way, like you don't know what's going to happen next. So it's like a whole different kind of experience that I think it'd be cool.
Yeah, I've watched a few of their shows online.
Mm-hmm.
And on YouTube, and it feels like a different experience than just sitting and listening to it, kind of watching it, the light show. And I don't know, I suppose you could go in an enhanced state, should we say, and it might be a little bit different. Like, I mean, obviously, Sufjan Stevens has words, but at the end of his show, his Carrie and Lowell show that I went to, it builds up to this like 20-minute long, just like drums and noise and lights and stuff. And it was just absolutely incredible. And I imagine Godspeed show is probably like that for an hour and a half or so.
Yeah. Cool.
I think it's like let wash over you. Like
exactly
right.
Outside and it just hits you in the face. You just like absorb it. I like that.
All right. But other than that, there's not really a whole lot to say about it. If you like them, you'll like this album. If you need words, it's not the album for you.
So are we 3 for 3? Can we declare that?
We absolutely are. We won. 3-0. 4-0 if you throw in the old La Femme album.
Right, right.
Which we said. It's a great album.
Boy, that's that one track was really great. So, yeah.
All five star reviews.
Yeah. Oh, is that a lead into your 5-star review? Wait, or is it 4-star? 0-star reviews. That's your thing. 0 stars.
Yeah, I haven't talked about this since I haven't been on the podcast since I started it. So, yeah, a little while ago, I started this Twitter feed called 0-star reviews, where I go find horrifying reviews where people get things totally wrong. And people seem to like them. They're pretty funny sometimes. It's fun to see people that just like completely miss out on, on critical things that are considered classics. And a lot of what it's done, it's in going back and checking out these reviews, I found a lot of stuff that I normally wouldn't have listened to that I listen to now. Like I'd never heard Blondie's Parallel Lines, but yeah. I found it on the top 100 list, and I'm like, there's got to be a bad review for this. And I go look it up, and there's a terrible review. And so I started listening to it, and man, it's amazing. It's a great, great album, which is why it's on like all the 100 greatest album lists, obviously. So, but yeah.
So I've noticed that your general theme is bad reviews about things that eventually became, like very, very highly regarded, right? Like, I don't know if you've done the Led Zeppelin albums, but like the critics used to hate Led Zeppelin, and then, later they became like, awesome, whatever, over time. But have you ever done that?
I did find one for Houses of the Holy that just crushed it. Okay. Yeah, so that's on the feed there somewhere.
Have you found any of the opposite, where like a band puts out an album and the critics just go wild and like, this is going to be like the biggest band ever, and then it's like some band that we've like never heard of or that was terrible? You should try that, right?
I thought about that. That's like the flip side of...
That'd be 5-star reviews. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
right. But the problem is... Like all that stuff is completely forgotten now. Like it's not like best of lists or worst of lists. Like people don't even. I'm sure there's some like that that are out there, but they're really hard to find. So
yeah, I guess maybe it's not as interesting to people because they want to hear about the band they know about. So yeah,
right.
Sarah, anything else? The floor is yours.
Oh, I don't think I have anything else really to talk about. I've just been listening to a lot of French music. A lot of good French music coming out this year. Just hanging out, swaying around my apartment listening to French music. And can I say, it's great. Everyone should do that.
Yeah. Keep recommending it. We'll keep listening.
I think it's a good way to celebrate being fully vaccinated is to dance to some French music, right?
Absolutely. Feel the vaccine go through your bloodstream and just like groove it out.
Yep.
Yeah, you're on your way out of the pain, and Will and I are probably on our way in. So we're just crossing vaccine paths.
Tomorrow, I hope you guys don't go through what I went through.
Maybe I think tomorrow afternoon, Chris and I will be exchanging messages about how miserable we are.
Even more so than I usually do.
Be like, I only had 2 glasses of whiskey. It can't be the whiskey, right?
Look, I've been chugging water this whole time. Yeah, you're actually drinking whiskey. You're like saying, come on, coronavirus, come get me.
I'm
behind. You need to catch up.
I'm on whiskey and water because I got to make sure that I'm also hydrated. So we'll see how it goes. Time will tell. Well, thank you, Sarah. It's great to have you on for the second time, and I hope you can be on again.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
And What's that great band? We really took a liking to that one of those bands that you you had on your list. That surfy band.
The one I had on my year-end list?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good question. That feels like 18 years ago.
Yeah. It's that surfy
band.
Surfy sounding band from of all women from I think from L.A.
Oh yeah, was it Habibi?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We.
I liked Habibi. Yes.
Several of us really liked that album a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you guys listened to La Luz? Do you know La Luz?
I think a little bit. I think a little bit.
Okay. If you like Habibi, and you like some of what I played from La Femme tonight, La Luz is like a nice little in-between. So definitely check them out. Another all-girl surf punk garage band.
Awesome.
But are they from France?
They're from the West Coast, now residing in Los Angeles. So not from France. I'm sorry.
The L.A. scene.
The L.A. scene.
You're tuned.
Them and Motley Crue, basically.
Attuned to the L.A. scene.
Yeah, there's not much of a scene right now, but I try.
Yeah, along with Motley Crue. Oh, God. I mean, the glam metal, I mean, L.A.'s got it all, right?
Yeah, it's La Luz and Motley Crue hanging out on the Sunset Strip.
Right.
God, I wish. I'd be there in a heartbeat.
Trashing the Hyatt House, the Riot House, is that it?
The Riot Hyatt?
Yes.
Yeah.
I only know that because of Almost Famous.
Okay. Time to sign off.
Had enough.
And Chris, too. Come on again sooner. You know, what's it been? A couple months or something. So.
Yeah. I've already got something new queued up. So.
Okay. Yeah. I think I've got that on the list here. The one that you mentioned. The Chicago band. Yeah. We'll just do a little teaser there. Yeah. Good. Good. We got that on the list. All right. Thanks to both of you. And we will talk to everyone again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.